Testimony regarding work in the San Francisco area. 1906, Sunday morning, September 2nd, Elder Knox, Elder Haskell, and wife, and Elder Hilliard came to see me. I had special communication with these brethren. I spoke in regard to the work Elder Corliss was to do. He manifests a rough, hard spirit, a spirit that is not after Christ's order, but is the spirit of a man who is not under the control of the Spirit of God. If such a manifestation is revealed, great harm will be the result, for it is out of order. It is one human being ruling another human being, while he himself, who would rule, is not under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, but individual self has the platform. All heaven is beholding the words uttered by one human being to another, words of one who acts as if the office of guarding the interest of the churches meant harshness and human control. God forbids one human being to judge another human being and press that judgment. I have a decided message and shall give the same. I am authorized now to speak. I am acquainted with the history of Elder Corliss, but will give only those things which are essential. At Washington, I encouraged Elder Corliss to labor in Southern California. His testimony was needed in all those unworked cities, for he could, when his mind was restful, present the truth in a distinct, forcible manner, and he could have the voice in the arrangements of meetings and how to carry the work that needed men sufficiently experienced to preside. Next morning, I learned Elder Corliss had decided that he was to become president of the Southern California Conference Field. But the very night after this conversation, the case was opened before me. I saw that Elder Corliss possessed an injudicious spirit, and that he was harsh and unreasonable when an opposing voice would come in against his decisions. In short, the blood would rush to his face and his head, and all this was injurious to his influence. Any opposition to his propositions made him express a cruel adherence to his purpose to carry his point. Our churches would become permeated with a disposition to harsh judgment and censure that would spoil the work of God. The Lord entrusted me with a message to give to Elder Corliss. He was in danger of making mistakes and, in the place of correcting these errors, continuing to deal harshly and to make decisions and stick to them irrespective of consequences. I told Elder Corliss next morning that he was not to carry the burden of conference work upon him, that he could not bear the taxation that would certainly result if he took such responsibilities. When at San Jose, Elder Corliss requested to see me with the purpose of removing Elder Rice and wife to another place, Santa Cruz, I think it was. He wished me to unite my influence to help them to do this. Some words were spoken to the effect that Elder Rice had made mistakes, but I could not understand the matter. I had advised them to put heart and soul into the work in settlements out of Oakland, Berkeley, and many other like settlements, where the higher class of people resided. These places the Lord designated as the highways. I had not yet visited Berkeley, where they had especially labored, and the work as presented to me was in the order of God. Therefore, I had encouraged them to continue the work. That night, after the conversation with Elder Corliss, the matter was opened before me in the night season, and I wrote out the matter and then was given a message to bear to that camp meeting. I will have that message found if possible. I refused to have an interview with Elder Rice and his wife because of my afterwork which I knew would come. It should not be said I had talked with Elder Rice and his wife. But I have the matter written out, the personal features of it, and then that instruction was given me at that camp meeting, which I gave to the people on Sunday. I gave no personalities, but presented the subject as the Lord gave it to me, as Bible truth that was appropriate for all the people present. I knew that Elder Knox and Elder Corliss were on the wrong beat, and if they would listen to the message God gave me at that meeting on Sunday, they would be corrected. But after a while, the pressure was still alive. I wrote a page to those who would carry through their purpose to proceed against Elder Rice. I was not so situated that I could possibly meet that matter, for I was writing early and late upon subjects presented to me at Battle Creek. I hoped this matter would be understood from the discourse given at San Jose. I wrote those brethren that if they attempted to press matters, we would have the church authorities together, and I would make a statement to them, that if after this meeting no change was made, then my course was clear. I had special light that if Elder Knox and Elder Corliss persisted in the same attitude, notwithstanding the efforts to correct the impression made upon their minds, then I must speak and take my position. I did take it. I recommended that Elder Rice and his wife should unite with Elder Haskell and his wife. Again, I had light that I should bear a decided testimony that Oakland and San Francisco should have decided work in both places to prepare the way of the Lord. But there would be an effort made to block the way. In consideration of the light given, I had urged that efforts should be made to secure the best class of workers to labor in the presentation of the truth for this time. The Lord forbid that workers who can be acceptable to the people should be called away. Efforts would be made to do this after the tents were taken down, to give the ground to the circus. Light was given that all the work should not come to a standstill, but should have the strength of the very men who had labored in Oakland and in San Francisco. And Elder Haskell and wife should have the additional help of Elder Rice and his wife, who had been laboring for the higher classes and the lower classes, and that no voice or influence should forbid them. God, who seeth the end from the beginning, has in no case justified the attitude that has been pursued toward them in words and in actions. Moreover, I have been shown that men who are to be guardians over certain districts are not to encompass too much territory, or to feel that they have the privilege to deal harshly, as they have done toward Elder Rice and his wife. In the final decision of the judgment, every man's works will be tested and will be tried. They that have done good, and they that have done evil. Our Lord's description of the works of the two respective classes is given as the only criterion by which they shall be judged. Good works are the result of justification by faith. Good works spring from good, true faith. They are the fruit born on a Christian tree. The whole human family is to be brought to the same bar. The judge is the eternal God Himself, who created the world through Jesus Christ. All the worlds are His possessions, and He never makes a mistake. There is to be no compulsion, no threatening, no severe words or condemnation to any. This was presented to me, notwithstanding there was continual excitement kept up, and my mind was so continually exercised upon the great issues at Battle Creek. I have messages that must be ready at the right moment to deal with matters. The brethren know in regard to these issues and the matter of removing Elder Rice and his wife. I have no conversation with Elder Rice and his wife, for I knew it was not best until the Lord should signify that I should meet this issue. I had the matter all written out, but have not communicated the matter to Elder Rice and his wife. I knew there was to be a meeting in Oakland, and having all I could possibly do, and not overwork my mind, I just let matters develop. The Lord was the one who could work out this matter. I could not take on me more than I had. I determined that after the camp meeting decisions would be made, the same spirit held and maintained would bring the crisis. Elder Knox and Elder John Corliss would have things more certainly developed. Meanwhile, I was warned that I must not withhold my testimony on the ground, straight and decided, and I had strength all through that meeting and had a sense of the everlasting arms being beneath me. I was not wearied the least particle. I was refreshed.